Pastor Praveen is a Christian pastor in India, where the vast majority of the population is Hindu. So Pastor Praveen is a Christian pastor, but he's also a wanted man. Sarah Kelly is one of our members here at Advent, works for a nonprofit ministry called Water of Life, and they go all over the world digging wells to make sure people have clean water. And Sarah has, through her work with Water of Life, has learned about Pastor Praveen. And she told me about Pastor Praveen. She also told me about what happened in Intrapradesh. Intrapradesh is a small village in India, mostly populated by the poorest people in India's lowest caste. And not long ago, Intrapradesh was really suffering. They'd gone a long period without rain. The crops weren't coming in. And the people were getting desperate. And they believed that the reason they were having such hard times, the reason they were suffering in this way, is because somehow they had angered one of the Hindu gods. And so they decided that what they needed to do to appease this Hindu god was to offer a human sacrifice. A human sacrifice is still very common in India. And so they decided, the elders of that village took a gregarious little boy. A boy known to all of the villagers because he climbed everything. He climbed on trees and houses and everything. They called him Monkey Boy because he loved to climb everything. And they took that gregarious young boy and they tied him to a roof. And they waited for him to succumb to the elements. And what they believed was is that however long it took for him to succumb to the elements, that's how many days the village of Intrapradesh would have to continue in their suffering before the Hindu god would rescue them. Of course, this boy's mother was beside herself. There was no way she could stand to watch her son suffer and die. But she knew that if she were to try to rescue him, she might be successful. If she went under the cover of darkness and tried to rescue him, she might be successful. But she knew they would catch up to her. And she knew they would kill her and put her son right back on that roof. So she needed help. And she had heard of this Christian pastor named Pastor Praveen. And so she sent word. She reached out to Pastor Praveen and pleaded with him to help her. Now, Pastor Praveen was no fool. He knew that if he intervened, he would be signing his death warrant. He knew that Christians are in a precarious place in India anyway. And so if he were to intervene in the politics of this village, he knew he would be on a hit list. So he had a choice to make. He could ignore the pleas of this mother and save himself, or he could rescue this boy and die. And that's why Pastor Praveen is a wanted man today. And if he's caught by the wrong people, he will immediately be killed for rescuing that young boy. You see, sometimes doing the right thing can cost us everything. Now, Pastor Praveen's story makes me think about our scripture lesson this morning. It's from the Old Testament book of Esther. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the book of Esther, but here's the background of the passage. There is a Jewish community living in exile in Persia. And one of the members of this Jewish community is a beautiful young woman named Esther, who was raised by her cousin Mordecai after her parents died. Now, that's giving you a little snapshot of Esther, but meanwhile, the king of Persia is angry. When we pick up the story in the beginning of Esther, we learn that he's angry with his queen Vashti because she has refused to do, she has publicly refused what he has asked her to do. And so he's very, very angry at his wife, his queen. And what he decides to do is to send her away to get his minions to bring in all the beautiful young women living in Persia. And from that pool of women, he was going to choose his new queen. Now, at Mordecai's request, Esther became a part of that pool. And not only did she become a part of that pool, but Mordecai said that you better be careful not to let anybody find out you're Jewish. Just go and be a part of this pool. So she did. And long story short, the king finds Esther to be the most beautiful woman in all the land, and he takes her to be his queen. Even though she's his queen, she stays in constant contact with her cousin Mordecai, who is also her guardian. And in fact, Mordecai overhears a plot from some of the people to kill the king. And so he quickly shares this with Esther, and Esther conveys it to the king. And because of this, the king's life is spared. This puts Mordecai in the king's good graces. And everything is all hunky-dory until Mordecai runs afoul of a guy named Haman. Now, Haman is a bad guy. In fact, when you hear the name Haman in this passage, I want you to think in your mind, dun-dun-dun. I mean, in fact, don't just think it in your mind. Let's practice that right now. Haman. He's bad. He's up to no good. And so, Haman... We just talked about this. Let's try that one more time. Haman is one of the king's high-ranking officials, and he, because of this, because of his status, he expects everyone to bow down in obeisance whenever he walks in the room. Now, of course, Mordecai is Jewish, and he's not going to bow down and give obeisance to anybody except God. And so when he refuses to bow down before Haman, I didn't even mean to do that one. But he hatches a plan to go to the king and ask the king for permission to kill all the Jews in Persia and to steal their property. So he does that. And the king gives him permission, signs off on this decree. He plays right into his hands. And now, Mordecai hears what's about to happen to his people. He hears about this plot, and immediately he goes into the streets, and he rips his clothing. He's dressed in sackcloth and ashes, and he's in the middle of the street praying, mourning about what's going to happen. And that's where our passage picks up this morning from Esther chapter 4, verse 5. Then Esther called for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who had been appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what was happening and why. Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show it to Esther, explain it to her, and charge her to go to the king to make supplication to him and entreat him for her people. Hathach went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a message from Mordecai, saying, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law. All alike are to be put to death. Only if the king holds out the golden scepter to someone may that person live. I myself have not been called to the king to come into the king for 30 days. When they told Mordecai what Esther had said, Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silence at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter, but you and your father's family will perish. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this." Then Esther said in reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will also fast as you do. After that, I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, the way I'd like for you to help me this morning is to turn to a couple of people around you and ask them this question. Are you prepared to perish? Can you do that for me? Are you prepared to perish? Mordecai pours it on thick, doesn't he? But he sends word to Queen Esther saying, "Look, you have got to go into the king. You're the only one who can do it. You've got to go in, talk to him. You've got to plead with him on our behalf. You've got to do something to rescue our people from extermination, this massacre." And Esther hears Mordecai's plea. She hears it, but she sends word back to Mordecai saying, "Look, cousin, I can't just go barging into the king's inner court. It's the law. Anybody who goes into the inner court without being first called by the king is to be put to death. And I'm no different. I'm not going to be saved from that just because I'm the queen." And so Mordecai responds to Esther, "Hey, when the king finds out you're Jewish, don't think that just because you're the queen, it's going to save you. You're going to perish just like everybody else. You can't fly under the radar anymore. And just think, maybe you became queen for such a time as this." Now, Esther has a choice to make. I'm sure it doesn't feel like much of a choice. She can remain uninvolved, watch her people be slaughtered, and potentially be killed herself. Or she can break the law, try to save her people, and very likely be put to death. She's between a rock and a hard place. Sometimes doing the right thing can cost us everything. Have you ever been put in a situation like Esther? Probably not. Most of us have never been asked to choose between our faith and our life. But have you ever been forced to choose between what's right and what's expedient? Have you ever been forced to choose between sharing and witnessing to your faith or some smaller version of suffering? Has your faith ever put you so at odds with the world that you had to pay a price for it? Because I doubt most of us have ever been in a situation where our faith was in jeopardy of costing us everything. But Jesus said it might. You know, multiple times in his ministry, Jesus called his disciples together and he tried to warn them. He tried to prepare them. He tried to teach them that, hey, if you're going to be my disciple, it's going to cost you everything. If you're going to be my disciple, people are going to hate you. People are going to revile you. People are going to say all kinds of awful things about you. He tells them it's not going to be a rose garden. It's not going to be easy. Instead, he tells us, in Luke chapter 9, he says, "If any want to be my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will save it." Those are sobering words from Jesus. That this discipleship thing comes with a cost. That there can be the ultimate cause for being a follower of Jesus. And that's why I sort of get put out with some TV preachers. And sometimes I see preachers on TV and they talk about their messages. Well, now, if you just have faith, then everything is God's going to bless you. If you just have faith enough, God's going to give you that Mercedes you've always wanted. God's going to give you your heart's desires. If you'll just have faith, God's going to make you happy. You know what I'm talking about, right? You've heard some of those preachers before? No? Are you with me? You've heard them. Prosperity gospel type preachers who promise your best life now. You know, well, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said there will be times when your faith will put you at odds with the world. Jesus said there's going to be a cost involved with doing the right thing. It can be painful. Jesus said that if we want to be his followers, then we've got to take up our crosses every day. The same kind of cross that he was eventually hung on, we've got to take up a cross like that every day. We've got to be willing to lose our lives for Jesus' sake. According to Jesus, we have to be prepared to perish. We got to be prepared to put it all on the line, like Pastor Praveen and like Queen Esther. That's what she does, you know. She asked Mordecai to organize a fast. She said, get all the Jewish people together in Susa. You don't eat or drink anything. And she's convinced that if they engage in this fast and they plea to God in prayer, that God will hear and act on her behalf. And that's why in verse 16 she says, go gather all the Jews to be found and hold a fast, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will do the same. After that, I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Esther was prepared to perish. And because of her faithfulness, because of her tremendous courage, the Jewish people were saved from Haman. In her devotion today, you know, the devotion book that we've all been working through, written by Advent people for Advent people. In her devotion for today, Carly Smith quotes from the movie We Bought a Zoo. And she said that the main character, Benjamin Fee, told his son, you know, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. It just literally 20 seconds of embarrassing bravery. And I promise you something great will come of it. I thought that was a great quote. Just give me 20 seconds of insane courage, and I promise you something great will come of it. A few years ago, my friends Chris and Elise Barrett told me about a Peruvian pastor they met on a mission trip. His name was Brother Manuel. And he's not only a Methodist pastor, but he's also a local celebrity in the mountains of Peru. And Brother Manuel gained his celebrity status a couple of decades ago when he was just minding his own business. He was just going about his normal ministry. He was preaching the gospel there in Peru. And while he was doing those things, the Shining Path, which was a militant communist terrorist group in Peru, well, they were trying to take over Peru. And they took issue with Christianity. They took specific issue with Brother Manuel and the message of freedom in Christ that he was preaching. And so one Sunday morning, they issued him a stern warning. They said, if you show back up at this church again and you preach one more time, we'll kill you. Brother Manuel left church that day. And when the next Sunday rolled around, he went back to that church just like he always did. There were armed guards, armed gang members at every door, members of the Shining Path. And though he was scared, he pushed past those armed men and went into the church. And they let him preach that day. He preached just like he always had. He finished his sermon, and when he walked out the door, one of those guys told him, we'll be at your house at 6 a.m. tomorrow. You better be ready to die. As you can imagine, Brother Manuel stayed up all night. Now, he didn't have time to call a 3-day fast and ask other people to join him, but he stayed up all night long on his knees in prayer. And as soon as the sun started coming up, someone started banging at his door. They kicked it in and they tied Brother Manuel up, gagged him, and they dragged him with 3 other people out into a field outside the village. And there they executed them. That was about 6:30 in the morning. Late that afternoon, there was movement in that field. Brother Manuel started to wake up. Even though he had been shot in the head, he started to wake up. And although it was blurry at first, his vision, his eyesight started to come back, and he looked to his right and to his left, and there were the three people who had been dragged out there with him, all dead. After lying there a few more minutes, he started to get feeling back in his hands and feet, and slowly he stood to his feet, and then he stumbled and staggered his way back into the village to the home of one of his church members. And as he was walking toward the house, children from the village saw him, and they thought they'd seen a ghost, and they yelled out, "Brother Manuel, Brother Manuel, you're dead." And he responded, No, I don't think I am." Those who lose their life for my sake will save it. It was nothing short of a miracle that Brother Manuel could be shot and survive. And after that miracle, the Shining Path did not want to mess with him anymore. He was able to do tremendous things for his people and for his church and for the kingdom of God because he had already stared down death. He'd already been in the face of it, and he wasn't afraid at all. He was willing to lose his life for Christ's sake. And in the process, Jesus saved his life. Pastor Praveen, Queen Esther, Brother Manuel, well, they were all prepared to perish. Are you prepared? According to Jesus, it's the only way to live. Amen.